We ask that your Holy Spirit would awaken our minds and hearts, that we would understand what we read and what we hear, and then respond to it in faith and obedience. Bless and sanctify us through the ministry of your word, that you would receive all praise and glory. And we pray this in Christ our Savior's name. Amen. You may be seated. I invite you to turn in your Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 15, the Gospel of Luke chapter 15. This is one of the best known and most beloved chapters in all of Scripture. In it, the Gospel writer records three parables about God's joy in finding what is lost. And we're going to be looking at the first of those this evening. Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 1, reading through the end of verse 7. Hear God's word. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost.' I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." As far as the reading of God's word, I encourage you, though, to keep your Bibles open as we'll be looking at this text throughout the message this evening. Brothers and sisters in Christ, like almost every other transportation hub, Minneapolis International Airport has a lost and found department. It's located on the valet level of Terminal 1. And in fact, this airport has an entire team working to get the 1,500 or so items that are lost back to their owners each month. Now, some of this property is relatively easy to return. Things like driver's license, passports, and a lot of the bags of luggage as well. But there are other things like items of clothing that are nearly impossible. In fact, only around 40% of lost and abandoned items are ever returned. The other 60% are held for 30 days and then donated to charity. Well, here in Luke chapter 15, our author records three parables that could accurately be described as lost and found parables. There is a lost and found sheep, a lost and found coin, and a lost and found son. But with all of these parables, Jesus isn't only teaching us and telling us about what is lost and found. No, he's also and especially teaching about his heavenly Father and about himself. And so let's spend a few moments this evening looking at that as we consider the first of these three parables. There'll be two points to this message. First, we're going to look at what the Lord teaches about lost sheep, and then we'll be looking at what he has to say about the loving shepherd. Lost sheep and the loving shepherd. Well, first then, let's consider together what our Lord wants us to learn about lost sheep. And as we begin, notice that in our text there are two different types of these lost sheep. And the first variety or type that Jesus identifies are those who are obviously and overtly lost. Beginning here in verse 1 of Luke 15, we read that, "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" And then Jesus goes on to tell the parable. tax collectors and sinners. If you're at all familiar with the gospel accounts, then you are familiar with these groups of people. They were social outcasts and scoundrels. They repeatedly appear around Christ during his three-year ministry. And clearly, they are irreligious. And they were excluded from their local synagogues and from Jewish society in general. Now, tax collectors were despised and excluded because they were working for the oppressive and hated Romans. We also know that at the same time, they would often enrich themselves through graft and extortion at the public's expense. The everyday Hebrew viewed them as parasites. They hated them. And then the second group, known here as the sinners, well, these were also known and shunned due to their occupation and lifestyles. And so this group, historians tell us, included tanners, peddlers, gamblers, horse traders, and prostitutes. A variety of livelihoods, but lumped together because they all involved activities that would either lead to religious and ceremonial uncleanness, or these occupations involved questionable or disreputable or outright dishonest financial gain. And then finally, there were those that were overtly immoral, like prostitution. Now, today, every culture has these sort of folks among them. You think of India's untouchables. We think of street people and orphans in many countries who pick pockets, who steal and scavenge landfills and the like, and often sell themselves just simply to eat. And here in America, it might be the homeless, drug dealers and drug addicts, yeah, prostitutes, ex-cons, bikers, gangbangers, and the like. Such folks could be considered our nation's tax collectors and sinners. Now, if we can compare these sorts of people to actual sheep, we would see these sheep as having woolen coats that are grimy, tangled, matted down, full of burrs and bugs. They'd be likely skinny due to parasites or injuries, disease. And they'd also likely be skittish or dangerously aggressive to those who would try to help them. You wouldn't have to be an expert in the care of sheep to see that they were lost. And such was the case then with these tax collectors and sinner types. You could see from a distance that they were far from God, and that they were not only self-destructive, but also detrimental and dangerous to those around them and to society at large. Now, shepherds will tell you that sheep that constantly wander off imperil the entire flock. And that's because they tend to draw other sheep along behind them. And so a single wandering sheep could lead dozens off a precipice. It was such a serious problem before today's fencing that shepherds would go so far as to break the legs of these wanderers, or even worse. Well, you see, spiritually lost and wandering people pose similar risks and perils. It's why hanging around with them is risky behavior. Those who do are asking for trouble. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, Paul warned that bad company ruins good morals or good character. And so we do well to ask ourselves from time to time whether our friends, our companions, our co-workers or our classmates are helping or hindering us in our Christian walk. Boys and girls, young people, you find yourself getting into trouble when you're with one or more of your friends. Are you picking up bad habits and bad attitudes when you're with one individual or another? Having said that, though, these risks and realities are not limited to children and teens. No, they apply to all of us. We all need to watch who we spend our time with and why. And all of that is partly why the scribes and Pharisees were disgusted with Jesus. Again, verse 2, the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." That phrase there, "this man," is an expression of disdain. You see, from their perspective, not only is Jesus teaching and discipling these tax collectors and sinners, he's also eating and fellowshipping with them. And they viewed that as tacit approval of their sinful lifestyle, or at the very least, of turning a blind eye to it. But of course, what they are missing, or what they just didn't care to see, was that these tax collectors and sinners were repenting, and they were turning their focus on following Christ. It seems that the scribes and Pharisees viewed these groups as permanently excluded, permanent outsiders. Once tainted, always tainted. Their state of lostness was irreversible. To be lost in such a way was to be lost for good. Well, that brings us then to the second type of lost sheep noted here in our text, and that is the religious variety. Tax collectors and sinners were irreligious, but there's another group, and these were religious. Again, verse 2. The Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." From this verse, we see that the scribes and Pharisees' lostness is clear based on their view of an attitude toward the shepherd. The gospel writers make clear how most of the religious leaders felt about Jesus. They argued with him, envied him, hated him, rejected him, and in the end condemned him to die. Now, on the outside, these folks seemed solid. They were clean, well-groomed, and well-fed, grade-A, blue-ribbon-type sheep on the outside. But you see, their response to Jesus, who was Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, who is God the Son incarnate, their attitude toward them spoke of who they really were. And on top of that, we find from their indifference toward their neighbors, both lost as well as those who were found, shows that they were very far from God's heart. These were in a very bad place. In fact, after these religious leaders condemned Jesus as actually working with Satan himself, Jesus said to them, "The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here." Jesus is saying these folks are worse off than the Ninevites. It's found in Luke 11, verse 32. And then several verses later, Luke goes on and writes, "When Jesus left there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to be very hostile and to question him closely on many subjects, plotting against him to catch him in something he might say. something he might say. Luke 11, beginning in verse 53. So these outwardly pious sheep were lost as well. They were far afield. They were far from the shepherd. And it's even worse for them because they believed that they were right with God. They believed that they were the chosen of God. But there is no one so blind as he who will not see. Perhaps worse still, having the seed of Moses, these scribes and Pharisees were in a position to especially damage God's flock, to close up the kingdom of heaven, blocking its entrance. Matthew 23, verse 13. Jesus links these religious leaders to Old Testament texts such as found in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 34, verse 20, the prophet wrote, "The sovereign Lord says, see, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away." That prophetic description and warning perfectly describes the scribes and the Pharisees. They were leading God's people astray. They were driving them away. Our text in the four gospel accounts show that lost sheep of both types and of all stripes are far too common. And in fact, the Bible teaches that at least positionally, all of us were at one time lost. Isaiah 53, verse 6, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Ephesians 2, verse 3, all of us also lived among the disobedient at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. So in Adam, and by nature, we're all wandering sheep. We so easily and so often wander from the shepherd. If we're honest, we know that almost anything can grab our attention and distract us from God, from his will, and from our Savior. The words of the familiar hymn express this reality very well. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. As lambs and sheep, we all, without exception, have this wandering gene within us. In the very last verse of Psalm 119, the psalmist wrote, "I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant." That's the prayer and the plea of God's flock. It ought to be yours and mine as well. What our Lord teaches about lost sheep. But secondly and finally, let's look at what our Lord teaches about the loving shepherd. Returning to our text, beginning in verse 3. Jesus spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost.'" Again, this parable isn't, first of all, about lost sheep. It is about the loving shepherd. You see, one of the shepherd's primary responsibilities is to search out and retrieve any sheep that wanders away. Then and now, sheep are a valued and valuable commodity. Of course, they provide wool for clothing, milk and meat, leather and shearing, and other useful products. And each lamb, each sheep, had significant value. And to lose even one, especially in first century Palestine, meant a significant financial setback. But beyond their commercial value, there's biblical and historical evidence that lambs and sheep were at times treated much like a beloved pet. That's suggested in Nathan the prophet's parable spoken to David in 2 Samuel 12. That means when a sheep was lost, it weighed heavily on the shepherd's heart as well as his pocketbook. No, the shepherd had a personal stake and interest in the success or failure of his search for a lost sheep. Verse 4, Jesus begins this parable saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" There's significance here in Jesus' telling us that this was an average-sized flock of 100 sheep. The point of that number is to highlight the shepherd's concern for each individual sheep. Yes, 99 of them are safe and sound, but that doesn't lessen in any way his concern for the one that's missing. The shepherd doesn't shrug off the one lost lamb just because he still has 99 left. You see, without that missing lamb, the flock isn't whole. There's been a loss. There's an empty space and place in the fold. Think about a large family spending a day at a theme park like Disneyland. Let's say this family has 6 children. And while they're in this park, one of their preschoolers vanishes in the crowd. I can speak from personal experience, that can happen. Now, the fact that the parents still have 5 of their children left doesn't in any way lessen or diminish their fears or the urgency of their desperate search for the one missing child. The size of their family and their concern over the missing little one have nothing to do with each other. And so here, as Jesus begins this parable, he's beautifully illustrating the Lord's personal concern for each one of us. That he has millions of sheep worldwide in no way lessens his love and concern for you. There are no routine or mundane search and rescues for this shepherd. No, his heart is in each and every single one of them. Again, verse 4, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" Here the Lord highlights the shepherd's undeterred persistence with that phrase at the end of that verse, "until he finds it." Indeed, any shepherd worth his salt and worthy of his title will search until he finds what is lost. And such a shepherd then will not be deterred by darkness or distance, not by rain or snow, heat or cold, rivers or ravines. None of that will stop him. And not even the sheep itself can run far enough or hide well enough to prevent a good shepherd from finding it. And all of this then speaks precisely to the reality of the divine shepherd. John 10, beginning in verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Now, just because the Good Shepherd is almighty and sovereign doesn't mean that his pursuit of his lost sheep was effortless. No, his search for us brought him from heaven to earth. It brought him from glory to Golgotha, from heaven's courts to the accursed cross. In John 10, verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." That statement seems almost to understate what Jesus did and what he endured for each one of us. What he endured to find us, to save us. So what is the shepherd's reaction and response once he finds the missing sheep? Verse 5. When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost." Notice here that there are no angry scoldings or reprimands. Jesus says nothing about the shepherd punching or kicking the sheep for running away. He doesn't drive the sheep all the way home. No, the shepherd's response is only one of joy and tenderness. "Ah, there you are, little lamb. There you are." And as Jesus tells this parable, you find the shepherd with great delight picking up this pathetic little lamb or sheep and slinging it over his shoulders and around his neck like a woolen scarf, holding its feet in his hands so that the animal is secure. It can neither fall nor flee. It's the shepherd who does all the work, and it is he who is most joyful. In fact, you can almost hear him whistling and singing all the way home. And when the shepherd nears his village, you can hear the joy in his voice as he announces his success and as he announces his celebration party. Well, Jesus wants us to keep that picture in mind when he applies the parable there in verse 7. "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." In the same way, our loving shepherd reacts with such joy in response to his saving work. The gospel brings joy not only to the saved, but first of all, to the shepherd himself. Now, certainly the redeemed do share and will share in the shepherd's joy. And that brings us back to verse 2 and how the scribes and the Pharisees had no joy concerning these repentant sinners and tax collectors. Listen again to verse 4. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" With that verse, Jesus puts the scribes and Pharisees in the shepherd's sandals in order to expose how far they were from God. You see, what they were willing to do for livestock, they were unwilling to do for fellow image bearers of God. So what are your feelings about the loss that are all around us? And how much do you appreciate God's saving grace in your own life? How much do you appreciate what Jesus did for you? Does the conversion of the lost fill you with joy when you hear their stories? Does the return of a wandering saint bring tears to your eyes? Does concern for the lost and wandering stir you to prayer? Does it stir you to witness? Does it stir you to support missions and evangelism? Has God's goodness, grace, and Spirit stirred you to join in Christ's search and rescue party? This parable reminded me of Psalm 100, where the psalmist wrote, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name." You see, every Lord's Day worship service is a celebration of the divine shepherd's love and grace as displayed by His search and rescue mission by which He claimed us to be His sheep, sinners such as we are. I began this message talking about a busy airport's lost and found department and the thousands of lost and found items that they try to return each and every year. But of course, none of that begins to compare with the Church of Jesus Christ, which is truly the lost and found department of all heaven and earth. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for our Good Shepherd. We thank You for His costly search, rescue, and recovery of Your lost sheep as He laid down His life for us, redeeming us from our sins and their penalty. Well, Lord, we ask that You would also enable and inspire us to follow our Shepherd's example with respect to caring about and reaching out to the lost around us. May our hearts, our prayers, and our words and deeds be used by Thee to bring the lost to Your fold. We ask this in the blessed and beautiful name of Jesus. Amen.